Mr. Cousins, Rail 5. Now, before we go on, I want to sort out, it wasn't actually Colonel Waddell at the time, he was only second in command. Could you?
No, he was company commander at Billericay, but the colonel going at Billericay, second in command was a Major Oates, who was immediately made up to acting lieutenant colonel. Then in turn, Major Waddell came up as second in command to take his place.
Now, what was Colonel Oates like?
He was a regular soldier and quite amenable, but never had much to do with me, of course. I suppose dealt mainly with Captain Dickinson, who was the adjutant at the time, and then Major Waddell descended upon us, and being this fitness fanatic that he was, with rugby, etc., etc., he rather pushed his weight about the orderly room, and when he found out I could do shorthand and things like that, he used me for that purpose. But the main thing was, he would never exempt us from going out on exercises, things like that, at Billericay. I mean, he always said the orderly room should keep in training, etc., etc. So we had to, unfortunately, well, it wasn't unfortunate, it was probably a good thing. But he was a genuine sort of officer. He was nice, but he was a bit brutal at times as far as the men. He was a good Sioux IC, and obviously was when we then left Billericay.
Yes, we moved on.
He was still Lieutenant Colonel. There was this talk about us disbanding or splitting to become a tank regiment, but it was all sort of hearsay at the time.
What did you feel about that, and what did other people?
Well, none of us really, even thought about it. And the orderly room staff thought, well, we'd still be orderly room staff. We couldn't care whether we were going to be tanks or not. We had the rumour that we would be taking over Churchill tanks eventually. Then Major Waddell, of course, became very indignant about it all. And even from Billericay, I know he went up to London and managed to obtain an interview with the Queen at the time, and who, of course, was being a Scottish lady, whom he knew from the fact that he was a big stockbroker in Glasgow, and he knew how to obtain access to her. And I know you spent the whole day there where she was. I think it was in Balmoral at the time, and he came back, and the word went round that no dice. It looked as though we were going to become a tank regiment, but we would have to take all the tests. So we didn't take the tests at Billericay. The next thing was we moved off to Bury St Edmunds. And this is when we went up, not to Bury St Edmunds, to the north of Bury St Edmunds, this place called Fornham Camp, Fornham Park Camp, Fornham Park Camp, near a village of Colford, where there's a private school.
Now, when did Broxton House come in then, the Glevening Hole?
Broxted House was before that, because Broxted House, we were still infantry, and we never any thought. That
so
was
that
when
was before?
Yes.
That so you didn't go from Billericay to Bury St Edmunds, you went to Broxton House?
No, did we? Sutton Common, near Woodbridge. That was when we did infantry. I mean, I was in the orderly room, but we still had to do...
That's what you mentioned last time.
Yes.
And then from Woodbridge, you went to...
And then from Woodbridge, we went to Bury St Edmunds. That was when we went to Bury St Edmunds, and...
And that was the Fornham Park...
Fornham Park Camp. Colford, Culford, it was on the way to Thetford. We were a few miles from Thetford Forest and that, but That's what I remember. It was certainly wintry conditions there, and Waddle used to make us run round, snow or otherwise, and do plenty of exercises and that. And then, to the best of my knowledge, the word came through that we were going to move down to Essex, to Billerick, to Frinton-on-Sea from there, and have a quiet period. And Waddle, to the best of my recollection, he came with us, and then we took these matrix tests at Frinton-on-Sea to decide who would...
So nothing really happened at Fornham Park?
Nothing happened. We just did ordinary infantry training at Fornham Park. We were still an infantry regiment at Fornham Park the first time. And that's when we had the word that we were going to change, or possibly there would be a change soon. And we would go to Frinton-on-Sea to deal with it. And we went to Frinton-on-Sea where we took the matrix tests, and half, mainly the Scottish troopers who didn't want to become tank people, they either failed the test or elected to still remain as the 11th HLI. Under Major Waddle.
Now, what were these matrix tests?
It was a book of designs, starting off with easy designs of putting squares into round holes, and which more or less they gave children at school, in elementary schools, and that. But it was all these peculiar signs. And then later on, fitting in the right word into sections and picking out the right words for each, and of course spelling test. It was, to anybody who'd had any education at all, they were fairly simple. I mean,
they were intelligence.
They were, yes, intelligence tests that got increasingly harder as you got to the end of the book, and if you completed the book within the half an hour you were given I think half an hour or that type of thing, and that, then you knew jolly well that wouldn't be much, you still, you know, you'd be passed, because it didn't matter to me whether I went into a tank regiment. But that was at Frinton, because we couldn't go out on the sea. We looked at the sea off the cliffs. It was all mined, of course. The Frinton was mined, barbed wire, that. So there was certainly out of bounds. But I was in Second Avenue in Frinton, opposite Gladys Cooper's house, the actress who was in America at the time. But it was quite enjoyable there. I went in, you know, the local church and for coffee. That was all. I mean, all the troops went to the local churches to get a free meal and talk to the girls. I mean, that was...
Now, what about this conversion to tanks? How far did they get?
We didn't get anywhere at Frinton. Frinton was just the beginning, the knowledge of splitting the two regiments. The part that would then go to Glevering Hall, Glevering Hall went Woodbridge, at Wickham Market. Glevering Hall was in Wickham Market, which was 7 miles from Woodbridge. And that was when from Frinton, all our chaps, the chaps that were going to be in the tanks, were sent to Bovingdon in 30, 40 at a time. So the jocks or the Scots boys stayed as guarding Frinton and doing all the normal jobs as a infantry regiment. That was when we knew. And then all our chaps came back. I think we were 3 to 4 months at Frinton, but...
You didn't go to Bovingdon, was it?
I didn't go to Bovingdon, no. I got tank training and all that later on, with the HLI still, but that was later on. But all I remember was... I don't know, this is a bit confusing, because we'd been to Bury St Edmunds, And then, no, we didn't go to, no, we didn't go to Woodbridge. We, from Frinton, we went back to Bury St Edmunds, of course. That was the thing. We went back to Bury St Edmunds, to the same camp, identical camp, but only the chaps who had passed the test to go into tanks and that had done their training at Bovingdon for 3 months and could, the tanks were delivered.
And what unit were you called then?
We were then called the 156th Battalion Royal Arm, RAC, Royal Armoured Corps. Yes, Battalion RAC brackets. We still retain the brackets, 11th HLI.
Now, after another period at Fordham Park Camp, where nothing much seems to have happened, you then went to Glevering Hall.
Glevering Hall, where our Churchill tanks were delivered for the chaps to take over and do the training on the in the Wickham Market area, which and in that part of Suffolk, which was quite good for that purpose.
How did that affect you?
Well, I was then. Glevering Hall, I was, oh, that's right, I was corporal. I'd been made up to corporal. I think I told you I'd been to this Carder course a long time back. I'd went to a Carder course when I was at Southend, when I was a Lance Corporal.
Yeah.
Went to a Carder course, did 2 weeks military training.
I thought you'd been made sergeant while you were at Broxton House.
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
No, I wasn't made Lance. I was made Lance Sergeant at Glevering Hall, because then Major Waddell. That was when Major Waddell left, and we had a regular Colonel Clark came, who was later to be a brigadier of the 29th Armour Brigade. But he came to us to specifically, as he was one of Montgomery's tank officers, and he came to, or no, he was one of the Middle East, probably, from the Middle East officers, that came to us to train us, or train our chaps, in tank warfare. And bringing with him a lot of extra officers and men who were regular tank people to make up our numbers, because we were depleted by reason of the fact that the others had gone. And because when we arrived in Glevering Hall, Woodbridge, we were probably 500 strong instead of 1,000. So the rest came, which of course, as far as the orderly room, that made us very busy in getting all the things in part to orders and all this and typing all that up. But that was orderly room work in those days. I did no tank training at all there myself. Waddell gone. This Colonel Clark was a typical officer, but he was quite brilliant, because my duties were, he found out I could do shorthand, and this is when I, again, in his case, 2 and 3 in the morning, his orderly was sent to me. And I had to go in 2 in the morning and take a 2-hour chute, filling a book, more chutes. And
this was another officer who did that.
Yeah, there was another officer that did that, but he was brilliant. He goes up for brigade, and then he'd have this chute, and I'd have to put it down, and then he'd let me go back to bed about 5 o'clock in the morning for a couple of hours, and then, well, would I type it out, etc., etc., and have it ready on his desk. But he was brilliant. I mean, for a colonel, I mean, most colonels didn't want to know about dictating or anything, but he was a brilliant man. I got to like him, he got to like me, and he made me up to Lance Sergeant, much to the disgust of my corporal, the Corporal Clark, who expected to be made to Lance Sergeant. But that was, I mean, there was always this bit of animosity, and we got over that. And then the next thing I remember from, I proposed to my wife, because I used to cycle 7 miles down into Woodbridge from Wickham Market. I proposed to my wife, and on the 12th of August we were married in Woodbridge with one of my intelligence.
What year was that?
That was definitely 42, August 42. And August 42, That was okay. And one of my sergeants in the IO was best man. Then I went on 2 weeks honeymoon to London and Reading, which was enjoyable, and then back to Wicker Market, to Clavering Hall. And from Clavering Hall, we were then a fairly trained tank regiment. And when I got back there, the colonel called me and he said, "I'm sorry, Cousins," he says, "I've got to leave now. I've been appointed brigadier, I'm going to brigade." And we had no colonel, to the best of my remembrance. We had no colonel in charge of us at the time. But we were very soon off. And, no, that's right. The next thing I heard was, the 11th HLR, 156 tank regiment. Oh, that's right. I think he told me. He said, "I'm sorry," he says, "but we're disbanding." And I said, "Well, what does that mean?" He says, "Well, unfortunately, all the tank people that I've trained on the Churchill tanks are being transferred to other parts of the brigade, to the Hussars." The other two regiments in the brigade, one was the Hussars and one was the Rifle Brigade, but they'd been trained to tanks, I believe. And anyway, they were to go there. But that was when this one vacancy came up, that there was a sergeant clerk wanted at the 2nd, 5th and 4th Yeomanry in Bridlington. And I was in the orderly room. We were helping to disperse everyone in that particular regiment, and that was the last I had to do with the HLR. And much to my wife's disgust, naturally, I had to go up to Yorkshire.
So you were there quite a long time, because the 5th, 4th was in Bridlington in June 43 to March 44. So
that's right. Yes, yes.
So when did you join them in that period, you reckon?
Well, yes. I was at Wicker Market for some time. It must have been some time. We're under Colonel Clark, because he did thoroughly train our chaps, and I went to when did I go to Bridlington? We went to Rudston. I was transferred to Rudston then in June of 43. And there I took up. I went before the colonel, of course, and he immediately said, "Are you a regular?" And because I replied, "No, sir, a conscript," and "Thank you very much." I went into the I always remember this small thing. I went into the sergeant's barracks, huts. And one of the sergeants I was introduced to, he was the corporal clerk, in fact. And I said, "Well, can I get a shower?" And he sent me down. He said, "Yes, down there, get a nice hot shower." Went down there, stripped, had a hot shower, came out. Very nice chap came out and said, "Who are you?" I said, "Oh, I'm the new orderly room, or new sergeant clerk." He said, "Oh," he said, "well, I'm Lieutenant so-and-so. You know, you're in the officers' quarters." I said, "Oh, sorry, I've just been sent here." He said, no, it was quite all right. But that was the sort of trick I naturally played on me as soon as I arrived. But anyway, I settled down, became quite friendly with the orderly room sergeant. The sergeant clerk, not so friendly. Corporal clerk, not so friendly, because he was expecting to have been made up to sergeant, from which they posted me.
Do you remember any of their names of these people?
Oh, yes. My orderly room sergeant was Jack Law, L-A-W. My corporal clerk, the corporal clerk
All right.
Well, anyway, there was a Trooper Fisher, a Lance Corporal Gomb, G-O-M-B, and the corporal clerk was Peg, P-E-double-G, but we settled down, and I took over the duties, not revealing that I did shorthand then, Well, frankly, I didn't want to be a shorthand writer anymore in the orderly room. I wanted to be just accepted as Sergeant Clark, so I didn't let on at that stage that I hadn't, you know, knew anything about, and which was a good thing, because my adjutant, who was quite a good man, nice man, but he was, Captain so-and-so, now I'll get it, it'll come in a minute.
Okay, don't worry.
But he was the head of, he was the leading partner in a firm of solicitors in London. Consequently, it might have been a very great asset, but I didn't let on. The Colonel never, I never saw the Colonel after that.
Colonel Scott.
So not in those days. You never saw him. He was out. They'd got, where were they? Well, they had their horses, of course. They were a yeomanry regiment, and they were still, like, naturally wanted their horses, and they were out riding, a lot of them. But anyway, that was that. But then I remember falling foul of, we went out, it was deep winter by then, deep winter. I remember going out on a 2 weeks exercise on the Yorkshire Wolds, which I do remember very well.
What do you remember of that?
Going out in our office truck, the tanks all going naturally ahead, a second echelon following, billeting down wherever we could in the snow, getting our tents or side tents out for the, and sleeping and having, and the only main thing I remember, which will come to further, was a Major Trotter, who was second in command then, I didn't like, and he wasn't terribly popular, but the only thing I remember about him was the fact that he came out one evening in the pitch dark, over to our tent. He said, "Oh, I saw a light in there, cousins." So I said, "Yes, sir, I've got a torch." He said, "Oh." I said, "Well, it's my own property." He said, "Oh, that doesn't matter. I'd like that. I need a torch." So I said, "Well, do I have to give it to you?" "Oh, yes, you're going to charge if you don't." And that's one of the things I remember about Major Trotter. And so anyway, I had to hand the torch up, which I never saw her again. Which was not, but anyway.
What was Trotter like then? Why did you like him?
I don't know. He just seemed a difficult man to get on. He had the typical wars moustache, he drank a lot. He threw his weight about. But when we were in battle later on, then I came to I realised the sort of man he was, because I used to have to type the citations, and his citation when he got drummed out of the regiment, or at least he.
We'll come to that.
But it was a long time ahead. That was.
But you didn't like it. Any other officers that you noticed particularly? What about Grant? Was he about then? He was at the headquarters company, Master Grant.
No, Brigadier Grant was 29th Brigade, but.
Oh, Alistair Grant.
Oh, Alistair Grant. Oh yes, I knew Alistair Grant. He was a cricket enthusiast.
What was he like?
He was nice. He was a major. I think he was major. Yes, because he was major in charge of second echelon at Aldershot, and he was a very nice chap. And Major Grant, he was good. And I got to know him quite well when we moved into.
How were you settling in with them? Was it very obviously a Scottish unit, or had the English?
No. Again, we were half and half there. It wasn't all. I mean, although they were gentlemen yeomanry, and I would call in to play a bit of bridge with a couple of troopers who were quite well to do. I mean, many troopers in the yeomanry regiment never wanted promotion. They were in it because they were called up. They were conscripts, and I found that they were terribly nice fellows. They liked to play bridge, and when you got the chance, and things like that, cards and all that. But I made a lot of friends with these. Although I was a sergeant, you made friends because you were in the sect, different, talking to them, and you got to know their histories and things like that, and why they didn't want to become officers. they wanted. They were mainly either bank clerks or bank managers, or public school boys. And they were called up, did their training, and they stayed. The rest of the orderly room, I settled down. My corporal clerk, who was made up, fortunately, to lance sergeant under me, and we became quite friendly because he was a first class footballer and also a good cricketer. So we got over me arriving there and sort of being a little bit superior to him or a little bit senior to him. But Laura, the orderly room sergeant himself, who was eventually to go to Records in London when we went abroad to me take his place, he was quite nice. We used to go into Bridlington, saw the 1 week summer there. I mean, that's all you had in Bridlington. You had 1 week summer in getting back to just the exercises, we had to go out. The snow disappeared, of course, but in being the Yorkshire Wolds, it was there till April, I suppose, naturally. And all we did, we kept warm, and we did our work and got our Part 2 orders out and things like that, and our Part 1 orders being in Bridlington. Oh, that's right. Bridlington then was good because there was the the dome or the dance hall, in other words, and we'd all, the sergeants, we'd all troop along there and meet the girls and dance if we could and enjoy ourselves generally at night time. But there was plenty of, I had a good billet on the main road off the Bridlington coast, and it's quite.
Was it occupied billets? I mean, were the people living there?
No, not in the. No, there were whole roads which obviously were for the visitors, the seaside visitors, been completely cleared, and we took over again, as we mainly did all the time, took over empty properties and made ourselves comfortable and had good quarters to make yourself comfortable in, with decent orderly rooms as far as, even the troopers and that, the tank regiments all had good billets in Bridlington, and Bridlington was quite pleasant there.